Tears threatened as Carrie Price caught her sister in the act, packing up Mum's life into shabby cardboard boxes. It was too soon for that. Carrie was still at the point of coming to the house to check their mother really had gone. As if by some miracle, she'd walk in to find her as she was before she got ill, in a cleaning gilet, humming gently, a cloth in hand, delighted by her daughter's interruption and asking, "Did she have time for a quick cuppa?" But of course, she was never there. Carrie's irrational hope would plummet into fresh, suffocating grief, and she'd have to sit for a minute on the worn sofa, listening to the silence, wondering how on earth there could be any more sadness, because surely, in the 6 weeks since Mum's death, hadn't she used it all up? Today, though, Carrie had felt an overwhelming gratitude that she wouldn't be alone with her sorrow when she had seen Tash's old banger parked up outside number 33 Junction Road. For Carrie to see her own grief reflected in her sister's eyes wouldn't diminish the emptiness inside, but at least they could hang on to each other, as they had done at the funeral a month ago, when Tash had let down her guard and they'd found mutual comfort in the shared blood pumping through their veins, keeping their mother alive in both their hearts. And as she'd pocketed the mail from the doormat to read later, Carrie had felt the relief only Tash's presence could provide. She would understand that Carrie had nowhere to go to hide from her misery. Her ex, Dave, was long gone, and she had no boyfriend to cuddle, nor kids to pour her love into. Not even work was an escape as it had once been, because Carrie's business was all wrapped up in Mum. Tash would get that, instinctively, Carrie had thought, turning into the lounge. But the sight that greeted her had been the deepest and most savage of betrayals, and Carrie could only watch in disbelief as Tash moved purposefully between piles of Mum's belongings, selecting blouses and shoes for one box and throwing tights and bras into a black bin bag. "What you doing, kid?" Carrie asked shakily, taking in the empty shelves, stripped of every last trace of nearly 3 decades of what she had called home. This was where they had grown up, sharing the second bedroom from childhood, right up until Tash had moved out 4.5 years ago, just before Mum's forgetfulness had been diagnosed as dementia. So much more than bricks and mortar, this two-up, two-down in crew was where they'd learned their table manners, fought over who got to put the angel on top of the Woolworths Christmas tree, argued over who washed up and who wiped after tea when they were old enough to help, dished out advice, most of the time uninvited, on boys and hairstyles as teenagers, laughed and laughed together in front of the TV, and provided unconditional support when the chips were down. The three of them against the world. It was where Mum had taught them to be decent, hard-working and kind human beings, just like her. The birthplace of Carrie's business, and where her mother's life ended. But there was nothing left to suggest this house had witnessed their lives, good and bad. Just bare walls, the telly trussed up in a straitjacket of wires and plugs, the glass cabinet robbed of trinkets, and 4 dents in the carpet where the table legs had been. "Getting it ready, like we said, to sell," Tash declared inaccurately, not stopping to soften the blow with a smile. Instead, she kept busy, avoiding eye contact, emotionless, examining what was next for the cull. Breathless, Carrie felt faint at the desecration. How could Tash do this? Didn't her sister want to cherish Mum for as long as possible, like she did? It was a bewildering blow to conclude that, no, Tash obviously didn't. Particularly when the last will and testament of Angharad Bronwen Price, which had left them her aging but spotless terrace, her one careful owner Ford Fiesta, plus £15,000 of hard-earned money from the Rolls-Royce factory, had been filed away less than 24 hours ago, after the sisters had been granted probate. "Actually, we said we'd do it, you know, when we both felt it was the right time," Carrie said to Tash's back, hating the nervousness in her voice, but this was how it was around her younger sister. "Don't upset Tash. You know how she gets," she and her mum had always advised one another. But now mum was gone, and Kerry was raw and lost without her. Even more so now, because Tash was buzzing with focus. How long had she been here, going through mum's things? And how many times had she been here without telling Kerry? She stepped forward to slow her sister's hands, which were wrapping a small crystal dolphin, one of mum's favourites. "This is for the charity shop," Tash said, carrying on, oblivious. "Over there," she said, pointing her petite nose at a mound of shiny black bags, "is for the tip. I've put your things to one side," she added, gesturing at a plastic tub by the gas fire. "But you'd better go through what's going, just to check."